The Trigicon SRO, this week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment, and apparently everything else firearms related, because this week we are going to talk about the Trigicon SRO, the Specialized Reflex Optic. The SRO is the newest handgun-mounted optic from Trigicon, and we talked about this shortly after the NRA annual meeting a couple of months back. There, we got our first look at it and just got to do some dry handling. Well, now, obviously, I have an SRO in my hands, and today was actually our first range session with the SRO, so I got a chance to go out and shoot it side-by-side with the RMR and see how it fares and how it stacks up. Now, the SRO has some definite advantages over the RMR for most shooters. The first and foremost is going to be the larger window. The SRO has a significantly larger field of view through it than the RMR, and that really is towards the competition nature of the SRO. Trigicon really intends this to be a competition optic, as opposed to the ruggedized mini reflex sight, the RMR, which was designed as a combat optic. So the SRO has this larger window, which aids in the ability to pick up the dot. This is especially true for new shooters that are making the transition from iron sights to an optic. Very frequently we hear the complaint that it is slower to pick up the dot, that they are having problems finding the dot. And what that is it is a misalignment in the natural point of aim of the weapon. When they drive it out, they have to correct that natural point of aim. And when you are dealing with regular iron sights, you have a cue to correct that natural point of aim, and that is the front sight. As you drive the gun out, you see that front sight, and you can drive the front sight to the target. With an optic, if the optic is misaligned a significant amount, then you do not see the red dot, and you do not have a cue on which direction to bring the handgun to bring the dot into the field of view. A smaller window compounds this problem. A larger window eases it, because you have a larger surface area to possibly pick up the dot. And as soon as you see the dot in one edge of the glass, it's easy to snap the dot back into the target, correcting your natural point of aim. So a larger window will make an easier transition for new dot shooters. Now, if you have a smaller window like you have here on the RMR, it's just a matter of spending that time in dry fire, driving the gun out on the target so that you quickly get that dot sight lined up. Now, additionally, this larger field of view gives you a clearer, cleaner sight picture. It just has a more open feel to it when you were shooting guns. I did a lot of strings of fire today between the SRO and then the RMR and back and forth and back and forth. And while I do shoot both eyes open, which helps alleviate some of these problems, you don't get the kind of tunnel vision that you do with a lot of optics. The SRO just had a better sight picture. Now, another marked difference between the RMR and the SRO is the SRO has a gradient tint to it. The RMR has a significant blue tint to it, and that allows the dot to run at a lower power consumption, better contrast between the dot and the target. The SRO has a blue tint, but it is a gradient blue tint. It gets lighter as it gets towards the bottom of the optic. And that just, again, gives us a little bit cleaner sight picture. Now, they could have made it completely clear, but if they made the optic completely clear, they would require more battery power to drive the emitter to get you the same apparent contrast of the dot on the target. So the window size and the clear sight picture is really the biggest difference that will jump out at you between the RMR and the SRO. The SRO, though, has one huge advantage for most shooters, and that is the fact that the battery replacement can be done without removing the optic from the handgun. So there is a top-load battery compartment. You just unscrew the battery compartment, swap the battery in, screw it back in, and you are good to go. You still have a pretty significant battery life with the SRO, but it is shorter than the RMR. So the top-load battery compartment is going to be a great option for both competitive shooters and for military and law enforcement shooters. Now that brings us to a point that I really want to point out. Trigicon says that the RMR is the combat optic. The RMR is what they are recommending for defensive shooters, for military and law enforcement shooters. The SRO, the reason it's called the specialized reflex optic, is its specialty is competition. It is really designed to be a competition optic. Now, that is not to say that it can't be used as a combat optic. Trigicon, when we were speaking to them at the NRA show, said that when they did their impact testing, their drop testing, all that stuff, the SRO came in second to the RMR, but was still above all the other competitors. Now, of course, this is Trigicon that I'm talking to. This is not a third party, but I really don't have any reason to doubt that, because looking at the construction of the SRO, it is really a fairly beefy construction. You have a forged aluminum housing. You have this rounded profile instead of the horned profile of the RMR, which means when you drop this thing, that impact is going to be right on top of the lens and it's going to focus it right down into the glass, whereas the RMR is designed to focus the impact further down into the body of the optic and into the slide. So I do believe, looking at it, that the RMR is going to continue to be the durability king, but the SRO, I think, is going to still be close behind. Now, the real reason that the SRO is sitting here on this gun in front of me is because I wanted to evaluate to see if it did have any drawbacks other than the just ultimate durability for a agency standpoint or for a law enforcement standpoint. A couple of things that really kind of bugged me when I talked to the guys at NRA. First of all, I talked to Safariland because one of the big things is duty holsters. In order to use an optic in a duty environment, you need to have a retention holster that will accommodate it. And Safariland, in my opinion, is the king of duty holsters for law enforcement. So we went and spoke with them, and initially we got information from Safariland that the holsters that were out there currently that would fit the RMR and the Delta Point Pro and other optics would fit the SRO. Then we talked to Trigicon, and they said that there was some modification necessary to make the ALS and the SLS system work with the SRO. Modification is a bad thing when you're talking about retention holsters, because that brings in some liability to the situation and all kinds of other issues. We just really don't want officers taking Dremels to holsters in order to make them fit. Well, today we got this mounted up and got ready to take out to the range, and I grabbed my Safariland 6360 RDS here that is designed for a Glock 34 with up to a Leupold Delta Point Pro on it, and it fits, of course, a lot of other optics. And lo and behold, the SRO mounts in, locks in, closes up, all retention mechanisms are active. Even if I flip the hood back, the ALS is still active until I sweep it and draw. So no problems, it fits in and locks in with no issues. So that is a big bonus for anybody that is looking at these or any agencies that are evaluating the SRO for deployment on the street. So that was issue number one. Check in the box there. Number two, and we covered this because my agency, we are in the late stages of discussing the RMR as a duty option for individual officers. The big issue here is that the optic has to be removed to replace the battery. Removal of an optic to replace the battery is not something that you really want to do at the operator level, again, when you're betting your life on the weapon. It really needs to be an armorer's level thing so that the optic can go back on, it can be installed with Loctite and the appropriate torque specs, and then the zero can be confirmed before an officer takes it back out. And again, that's his life or the life of other citizens on the optic functioning. That's a big deal. It adds an extra burden to our armorers because, again, they are going to have to replace the battery. They are going to have to torque it back on. They're going to have to confirm zero. And none of this is anything that we require when they're working with carbine-mounted optics, patrol rifle optics. That is the individual officer's responsibility. Well, with the SRO, now that we have the top mount battery compartment, now officers can go ahead and replace their own battery if they're using these for duty and not have to worry about that. So again, if you're a SWAT operator and you're getting ready to do a high risk warrant service, when you're doing your prep and checking your gear and all that, you can go ahead and put a fresh battery into your optic. It's kind of like that. I don't know if you want to roll out with only a partial magazine in your gun. I don't know if you want to roll out with only a partial battery in your weapon. Very frequently, when I was still active on our team, we would replace batteries and optics and lights before we go do warrant services. If you do a large high-risk warrant service or a roundup or that kind of stuff, it just kind of makes sense to do so. You still get decent battery life with the SRO, so you know, hopefully we will be able to get a full year out of this without having to replace the battery in the optic. It is installed, it is powered on, and I will leave this optic on regardless if it's in the safe, in the holster, or in the range until this battery dies, just to see what kind of life we get going forward, so I can update a full review on that. Now again, because Trijicon doesn't recommend this 100% for duty, agencies out there may want to hold off on it for a little while. I know there's at least one large agency that is evaluating it right now, and if that agency adopts it, everybody else is probably going to jump on board and follow suit. But I don't really see anything jumping out at me that would limit this as a duty optic at this point. Again, it is going to be more durable than many of its competitors. We haven't gotten to the drop test yet on it, obviously. Just got it in my hands. We're going to run it hard for a while before we go to the point where we bounce it off the ground. But I think it may be a really good option to look at if you're evaluating this kind of stuff for your agency. For competition, I see absolutely no reason not to run this guy. It is a little bit more expensive than some of the competitors, but I like the fact that it's only $50 more expensive than the RMR, and you're getting a lot of the same benefits between the two. So in taking the optic out and actually running it side by side with the RMR, back and forth, doing some precision drills, we did some dot torture with it, I burned down some fast strings with it. The one thing that I can really see on it is the open sight picture of the SRO does help in recovery from recoil. So if you are really pushing down on that gas pedal and you are really driving the gun hard, you have more room to watch the dot rise and fall and transition to different targets. Whereas with the RMR, when you are doing the same thing, the dot very often will leave the window before it comes back down. Now, if you've got your natural point of aim dialed in again, you've got that wrist angle perfect, then it's not that big of a deal. The dot returns right back into the target if you're using proper recoil control. But it just gives you a little bit more confidence. It gives you, feels like better situational awareness with the larger window on the optic. Now, one drawback that I did notice, I didn't notice this at the show. I noticed it when I got it in and started mounting the optic up on guns. Now, this is a borrowed Glock 34. My Gen 5 Glock 34 MOS has not arrived yet. I should be able to pick it up tomorrow, and then this optic will probably get switched over onto that gun. This one is set up with Dawson Precision, a fiber optic front sight, and a plain rear sight, and these are Dawson's MOS height sights. Now, Dawson makes two different types. They make the MOS for the RMR and several other optics, and then they make a higher set for the MOS with the Delta Point Pro. I actually have a higher set for the Delta Point Pro that we were running on a Glock 41, but those are actually a little bit higher than we need for the SRO. However, the regular AmeriGlow sights that I run, that I actually have on the Glock 41 here with the RMR, these are just a little bit too low for the SRO. When we were running the regular RMR with the AmeriGlow sights, the RMR body intrudes just a little bit into the bottom of the rear sight notch. Not enough that these aren't highly effective backup sights. They are, but you just lose a little bit of that depth. With the SRO, you lose a little bit more of that depth, and then it starts to get to the point I don't really want to depend upon them in a high-stress situation. In a competition situation, it's no big deal. I would probably just run the regular plastic Glock sights and not even worry about putting backup sights on for a competition gun. For a carrier tactical gun, absolutely. I would go ahead and put the Dawson Precision iron sights for the MOS and the RMR, and those should be sufficient for this. I actually have a set of those on the way in. They haven't arrived yet, and those will go on with the plain front sight, not the fiber optic, when my Gen 5 34 MOS shows up. So just something to keep in mind. We do have the CNH Precision RMR plate on here. So it just has a nice little taper out to the full width of the SRO. When you use it with an RMR, it negates the need to use a sealing plate underneath it, and it comes with its own screw set, so everything screws on just fine. If you go with the SRO on a regular MOS, you do not need to use a sealing plate, but you will need to use shorter screws to attach to the MOS. We actually purchased one of the Trigicon SRO MOS mounting kits, which is kind of funny that they call it a kit. It's really just two screws and an Allen key. And those screws actually ended up being too long for the MOS plate. When they were tightened down and torqued sufficiently, it jacked the back of the MOS plate up. So keep that in mind if you are buying that setup. You may be better off just going to your local hardware store and purchasing the appropriate length screws to mount your SRO to an MOS plate. If you are mounting into a slide that is already cut for the RMR, it should mount in just fine. It is the same footprint as the RMR. The only issue there is if you have an irons forward gun, the SRO will likely not work on an irons forward setup because if you notice, the front edge of the optic is almost right at the barrel hood. I've only got about 4 or 5 millimeters between the optic and the barrel hood, so that's going to be a no-go if you have irons forward. Now, custom machine shops may be able to cut the slide to do an irons forward setup on the SRO if they move the optic all the way back and actually remove the radius at the rear of the slide and have the SRO end at the end of the slide. I'll be interested to see if any machine shops try to do that pattern, but in reality, I don't think the irons forward setup provides so much additional benefit that you would want to do that over the traditional setup that we have pictured right here. So obviously I can't give you a durability or reliability input yet. We fired about 250 rounds through this morning. So just enough to get a feel for the optic versus the RMR. The controls are pretty much the same between the two. The sight adjustments are the same between the two. We still do have click adjustments that you can utilize the rim of a 9mm case to adjust. It is one MOA clicks on them, so very easy to get this dialed in on where you need it. And overall, I am pretty happy with this. Now, before we get into our full review, we're going to beat this up quite a bit more. We're going to do some slide racking, some one-handed malfunction drills, all the regular stuff we do when we evaluate optics. And I'm going to pull it off of here, and I'm going to put it on my carry gun, and I'm going to carry it for a little while just to see if I even notice the added bulk at all. It is taller than the RMR. It is a little bit wider than the RMR. But because I carry appendix and I carry in a T-Rex arm sidecar rig, the optic will not really take up any additional space on my belt because all it is taking up empty space between my spare magazine and the handgun itself. So it really isn't any added bulk. It's just sitting in space that is normally occupied by air anyway. My shirt's not pulled tight against that. Now, if you carry behind the hip, I still don't think that the little bit of extra on this side is going to be that big of a deal. The butt of the gun hanging out towards the rear is usually the part that prints the worst when you are carrying behind the hip, inside the waistband, or outside the waistband. From a duty standpoint, we already talked about this. It is absolutely no big deal for the extra size. It is 100% benefit on the extra size from the duty standpoint. Now, the SRO does come in three flavors. You can get a 1 MOA dot, a 2.5 MOA dot, and a 5 MOA dot. This is the 2.5 MOA because that was the first that was available for us. If I have my choice right now to get anyone immediately, I would probably go for the 5 MOA dot. This is a 6.5 on this RMR, and I think that's a really good option for up close and speed. But if you intend to make longer range shots, I think the 2.5 is a good option. If I was going to run this as a 45 degree offset sight on a carbine, which is definitely a possibility for these type sights, then I would probably go with that 1 MOA dot. So that is our initial hands-on shooting with the Trijicon SRO. For those of you guys that are precision rifle shooters, don't worry, we got more precision rifle content coming. I actually have the review of our Tika T1X, and we have some content with the International Barrels Inc. Prefit barrel that we have just got screwed on to our Remington 700 and got some rounds downrange. So we will be coming back and doing a full review on that barrel very soon, get the Tika content out, and we have some other rimfire stuff going on too. So I hope you guys appreciate the optics talk and the handgun talk. I know some of our friends out in the UK and in Australia, this probably doesn't apply to you, but please let me know anyway if you enjoy hearing me talk about it and you enjoy the details on it. If you guys have questions or comments over anything we've covered, please leave it in the comments section below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. If you like the video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe, and hit that little bell icon so you can get notified when we release new content. If you guys are listening to us on your favorite podcast app, please send questions to us at 8541tactical@gmail.com. Thank you to our Patreon supporters. You want to help support us on Patreon? Click the link down below. And until next time, get out and shoot.